Now that we have seen the role that empathy plays in healing, I'd like to look at some other functions that are also supported by empathy, which are also closely related to healing. And these are mediation and reconciliation. In mediation, where I am confronted with either two individuals who have a conflict or two groups, I find that when I can get both groups to empathically connect with the needs of the other group, or each individual to empathically connect with the needs of the other individual, it is amazing to me then how conflicts which seem impossible to resolve almost seem to resolve themselves. For example, I was working with married couples, and when I do this, I often ask each couple to identify a conflict they haven't been able to resolve in their marriage. And when they have identified this, I ask them to identify how long this conflict has gone unresolved. And then when they do identify the conflict, I ask them to identify how long it's been going on. And then we find the conflict in the group that's been going on the longest, and I make a prediction that people are rather skeptical that I'll be able to fulfill this prediction. I predict that we'll resolve the conflict within 20 minutes from the point at which each party can tell me what the other party's needs are. Now, in one workshop, the couple that had the longest conflict had been married 39 years, and the conflict started 6 months into their marriage when the wife had twice overdrawn the checkbook. The husband then took over all financial affairs and wouldn't let her write checks for the next 39 years. And this had created a great deal of pain in their relationship. So I said to the couple, I'd like you each to tell me what you hear the other person's needs are in this conflict. And when you can both tell me that you've understood each other's needs, I'll bet we can resolve the conflict within 20 minutes. Well, the wife was very skeptical, and she said, Marshall, we've talked about this regularly for 39 years. We communicate about it, but it's just a conflict we can't resolve. I said, okay, so let's see if my prediction comes true. You tell me his needs, he'll tell me your needs, and we'll see if we can resolve it within 20 minutes. So I said to her, what are his needs? She said, he doesn't want me to spend any money. And he said, that's ridiculous. And I said, now, not wanting you to spend money is not what I mean by a need. What I mean by a need contains no reference to specific strategies of what we want people to do or not do. And I gave her an explanation of what I mean by a need. And she said, okay, Marshall, I think I understand. Let me tell you what his needs are. He's just like his own father. They both have a depression mentality when it comes to money. And then he looked at the ceiling and rolled his eyes because he had heard this same diagnosis of his pathology for 39 years. And I said, hold it, hold it. Every time we make a diagnosis like that about people, it's going to make it that much harder to resolve the conflict. So I said to him, well, it's quite obvious your wife is really not connected to what your needs are in this money situation. So could you explain what your needs are? He said to me, Marshall, she's a wonderful mother. She's a wonderful wife. But when it comes to money, she's totally irresponsible. And she jumps in and says, you know, that's not fair. See, I ask him what his needs were, and he's like many people. They don't really know how to say their needs, but they're quite skilled at saying what's wrong with other people for not meeting their needs. So I could see that neither of them had the skills yet that nonviolent communication provides us with, skills for clearly expressing our needs without criticizing the other person. So then I used nonviolent communication in a mediation sense by translating each of their judgments into their needs. So having heard the husband say that his wife was totally irresponsible about money, I said, "It sounds to me, sir, as though you're really scared about how she has handled money at times in the past, and you have a need to protect the family economically. Is that what your need is?" He said, "That's exactly what I'm saying." Well, that, of course, wasn't exactly what he said. He said she was totally irresponsible when it comes to money. And as I said in our session on empathy, all judgments and criticisms of others are tragic expressions of our needs. So here was a good example of that. I asked for his needs, which were for financial security for the family, and he put it in the form of a diagnosis of her, that she was totally irresponsible. So I said to her, "Could you tell me back what your husband said his needs were?" And she said, "He said that I'm irresponsible. He doesn't understand." And I stopped her and I said, "Hold it, hold it." So notice, she's heard this criticism for so long that even when he expresses his needs, she can't hear it. She still hears the criticism. We pay for every criticism people hear us making. It makes it that much harder for them to see our humanness, what we're feeling, what we're needing. So I repeated the need for her. I said, "I hear your husband say that he has a need for economic security for the family. Can you just hear that?" And within a couple of repetitions, she was able to just see that what his need was in this was to protect the family economically, and that's why he wasn't letting her write any checks. And then I helped her express her needs. Her needs were that she needed to be trusted that she could learn how to handle money. She wanted understanding and empathy from her husband that because she had overdrawn the checkbook didn't mean she couldn't learn. So I said to the husband, "I hear your wife saying that she has a need to be trusted that she can learn. That's her need. Could you repeat that back?" And he said, "We'll be poor by then." Again, an example of how once we have a set image of people, it's hard for us to see their humanness. We get stuck in our diagnosis of them. So it took me a couple more repetitions of her need to be trusted before he could just hear that and keep separate his diagnoses of her. So I repeated the needs that both had. I said, "So I'm hearing, husband, that you have a need for economic security for the family. You want to be sure that whatever is done protects the family economically." He said, "That's right." And I said to her, "And you have a need to be trusted that you can learn how to handle money, how to write checks and do other things." She said, "That's right." From that point on, it didn't take 20 minutes to resolve the conflict to both of their satisfaction, a conflict that had been going on 39 years. My experience has been with group after group or two people having conflicts, how amazing it is that long-standing conflicts can be resolved fairly easily when we get past the enemy images and can just get people to see the humanness of both sides. The humanness being defined in this case is, what are people needing? What is their needs? And to hear their needs without having any enemy image of them for having these needs